So what did you think about the shoes, I mean? A number of you have got shoes off, I noticed, those that I could see from the front row. I sort of suspected that there would be a kind of a polite smile and, well, you know, it's Margaret and... I just need to look in my handbag or just my tie or... And most of the shoes stayed on. I don't know whether they did or not. But it's interesting, isn't it? Doing something unusual. And yet, taking shoes off comes in the passage that we read together. But as I looked at this passage, I thought to myself, what is it here, what is it in this passage that's important? We always say that this is the story of Moses and the burning bush. That's how we title it. But is the bush really important? Or is it just really an attention getter? Something to captivate the mind for a few moments, a bit like the preacher coming up to preach without any shoes and socks on. Not really important, just grabs the attention. Well, perhaps it's not the bush. Perhaps then it's the holy ground on which he was standing. We ought to call the story Moses and the Holy Ground. But it kind of begs the question, doesn't it? What made the ground holy? And surely it was because God was there, although as I was talking to Ronnie about it yesterday, I think it was, she said, but God's everywhere, so surely all ground is holy. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment, maybe. Maybe it's not so much the holy ground, though. Maybe it's the God who made the ground holy, and Moses comes to meet with God. So this is really the story of Moses meets with God. Yet Moses doesn't really quite meet with God, does he? He hears God's voice, but he doesn't see him face to face. I think we're told it's an angel that made the bush burn. But Moses comes and he receives what God has to say to him. So perhaps this is what we really ought to call it. Moses receives God's message. That seems to be the heart of the story here. What about our expectation this morning? Probably, even if you looked up the passage for today and came in anticipation of what the reading was going to be, I don't think there's anyone here who came expecting to find a burning bush. Incidentally, if you find anything burning, and it's not a bush, and it's not Pentecostal tongues of fire, the fire exits are there, there, and there, okay? Just in case. So, if you didn't come expecting a burning bush, did you come expecting that this was holy ground? Well, in a kind of way it is. It's a place that's dedicated to God, so maybe it's a place that we could call holy ground, but perhaps it's not explicitly that. There's plenty of people, incidentally, who come here on a regular basis and take their shoes off. That may not be because it's holy ground. It may have something much more to do with the fire in the boiler in the basement, and it's a cold winter evening and there's underfloor heating. It's a good trick if you learn it. But did you come here today to meet with God? Hopefully you did. But maybe we're not going to meet with God face to face in the same way as you meet with the person sitting next to you. So what then? Hopefully we've come to hear God's message to us, what God has to say to us, in the same way that Moses had his attention drawn to hear what God had to say to him. Moses was attracted by the burning bush. That was how God got his attention. What is it that God is going to have to use to get your attention, to get my attention? Sometimes doing something is helpful, like worshipping without your shoes on. So what was God's message to Moses and to us? First of all, God says, I know, I know. God tells Moses that he sees, that he hears, and that he feels. He says in verse 7 of our reading, he says, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. He says, I've heard them crying out. And he says, I'm concerned for their suffering. God knows. And a phrase I'm going to use several times this morning, the God we worship is just the same. It's not just that God knows about Moses' situation, God knows about our situation. The Bible makes it quite clear that the situations around the world, the ways in which people live, those who suffer, those who are persecuted, those who are downtrodden, God sees, God knows, and God is concerned. When Tim comes in a few minutes' time to lead us in our prayers, do you know what? He, on our behalf, is not going to tell God anything God doesn't know already. What we're going to do as we pray is we're going to say to God, I know you've seen this, but I've seen it as well, and I want to be involved with you as much as I can in dealing with this situation. God knows. But God goes on to say, not only do I know, but God says in verse 8, I have come. I have come. He says, I have come. I have come to rescue them. I have come to bring them out. And I've come to bring them in. To rescue them out of the hand of those who oppress them. To bring them out of this place where they are currently slaves, where they're working too hard, where they're oppressed, where they're downtrodden. I've come to bring them out of that place, and I've come to bring them into a new place, a new land flowing with milk and honey, a land that I've prepared for them. God has good plans for his people in this story. And the God we worship is just the same. Just the same. He has come. We have sung this morning, from heaven you came. Entered our world, my heavy load to bear, to give your life that we might live, to destroy all the works of the evil one. Jesus promised he had come not only just to bring us out of the situation in which we were in, but to bring us in. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. God still has good plans for his people. So God knows, and God says, I have come. God says to Moses, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. God says to Moses, in view of all of the above, now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Why? To bring the Israelites out. But hold on, wait a minute. I thought you said just now that God says, I, God, have come to rescue, to bring them out. So what's all this sending Moses business? Well, you see, God likes to work through his chosen representatives. God likes us to be involved in the plan that he has. So he chooses Moses as the chosen savior of his people. So he says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And the God that we worship is just the same. Just the same. God's message to us is the same thing. Go back to the end of Matthew's gospel, and Jesus says to the disciples, go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Go to every people group, not just every nation. Yes, go to the Somalis, go to the South Americans, go to the North Americans maybe, go to the Brits, go to the French and the Germans and the Chinese, go to the nations, yes, but go to every people group. Go to those who live on your street who haven't got jobs. Go to the people who work in your office. Who else is going to go there? Go to the people who are in your school, your place of employment, maybe your place of unemployment. Go and rescue them from a tyrant much worse than Pharaoh. Jesus said, go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. It's that teach bit that catches us out, really, you see, because Sometimes we think, well, it was all right for Jesus to say to those disciples, those 12, or maybe those 120 or whatever they were, they are the ones to go. But he said, go and you make disciples and teach them everything I've commanded you. Well, one of the things he commanded them was to go, so he teach them to go, and they teach others to go. And it comes down to it today that we're being told to go. Teach them that God knows. He sees, he hears, he feels. Whether it's the situation in Darfur, or whether it's persecuted Christians in China, whatever it is, God knows. Whether it's your personal spiritual battle, whether it's your personal pain, God knows. And God has come in Jesus to rescue, to set us free, to bring us as people out of a tyranny, the tyranny of sin, much worse than Pharaoh, to bring us in to his kingdom. And how's he going to do that? How's he going to let people know that God knows and that God comes and that God cares? Well, he's going to do it through his chosen representatives. That's you and me. Chosen representatives. It may be that some will never hear if we don't go. So, God knows. God comes. God sends. But Moses says, how can I do all this? How can I cope with this? And so God identifies himself. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God reminds him of who he is. And he says, I am the God you already know. The God of your father who would have told you about, who would have told Moses about him. The history of his people, how God had come through Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. This was the God Moses already knew. And the God we worship is just the same. If God is speaking to us today, it's because he is the God we already know. Some of us, I guess, may not know God or know about God. Doesn't hurt to repeat the advert. Alpha course starts Thursday, 7:15 here. Come on the Alpha course if you're looking for who God is. But most of us know God. We don't necessarily know him as the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, except by reading our Bibles, but we know him as the God who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. The God we claim to love and follow, he is the one who's speaking to us. I know, I come, I'm sending you, I am the God you know. And God says, and I am with you. I am with you. Moses feels his own inadequacy. Who am I to go? God says, I'll go with you. You're not going on your own, I'll go with you. But I don't know what to say. God says, I'll teach you what to say. Moses had actually been prepared for this role. He had lived 40 years in the courts of Egypt. He knew how the system worked. He knew which secretaries you had to have an appointment with in order you could see so-and-so before you could see Pharaoh. He knew all the rigmarole. God had prepared him for it. God had prepared him for what was going to follow. 40 years living in the wilderness. Finding where the wells are, where the grass is, where the places of shelter are. God had prepared him for this role. Yeah, there were going to be tough times. Moses was going to have to battle with hearts and minds. He was going to have to face difficulties. There was going to be opposition and rebellion. He was going to have to confront things that he couldn't face alone. He would have to learn to rely on God totally. And the God we worship is just the same. We too feel our inadequacy. Who am I to go? Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But I don't know what to say. And he says, I'll put my spirit in you. He'll teach you what to say. And we too have been prepared for the role God has for us. Whether it's formal training, whether it's your background, your upbringing, whether it's your spiritual gifts, whether it's the desires God has put in your heart, whether it's the experiences that you've been through, whether it's the temperament that we have, God has built us into a kind of a shape that matches exactly the hole he wants to put us into. We too will battle with hearts and minds. I don't know about you, but I battle most with my own. We'll face difficulties, opposition, rebellion. We'll confront things that we don't know how to deal with. We'll have to learn how to rely on God alone. God says, I know, I come, I'm sending you, I am with you. God knows the situation. He came himself, so now he sends us. One day, we'll have to stand before God and give an account of how we use the talents that God gave us. Your talents will be different to mine, but we could list them off and God will say, I gave you these things, these gifts, these skills, these abilities. What did you do with them? And that really will be standing on holy ground that day. Which perhaps brings me neatly back to shoes. I was looking for shoes in the Bible. And I found the story of the prodigal son. You remember it so well, doubtless. The prodigal son returns home and he asks to be a servant. But he was reinstated as a son. And because he was a son, he was given shoes. And it struck me that perhaps it's shoes for a son and bare feet for a servant. Perhaps in Moses' culture, the removal of shoes meant, I will be your servant. And the request by God to Moses to remove his shoes was God saying to him, I want you to be my servant. A servant of mine, God, and a servant of my people. Maybe taking our shoes off is not the way we do it these days. But what are you and I going to do to show that we are servants of God? Amen.